Good evening, everyone. This is Steve Santisiro, your state senator here in the 10th District in Bucks County. I want to thank you for joining me tonight for this live telephone town hall. We're going to be discussing investments in the 10th District as a result of this year's budget. This was quite a year for us in Harrisburg. We have a budget that has made some historic investments in a number of areas, including our schools. And we'll be talking more about that with Lisa Fleming, who is one of our budget experts in the Democratic Appropriations staff in the State Senate. We're fortunate to have Lisa on tonight, and I'm fortunate to have had the chance to work with her both in the State House, where she previously worked for the Democratic Appropriations staff, and now in the State Senate as well. So welcome, Lisa.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's great. Thank you. We're looking forward to it as well. And we're going to be taking your questions as we proceed tonight. We've received from a number of folks throughout the district questions by email in the last few days, so we'll be going to those periodically as well. But if you want to ask a question tonight, the easiest thing to do is to press *3. That's, again, *3 on your phone, and you will be connected to us this evening. And we will have a conversation and answer your questions as best as we can. I want to also point out, when it comes to the budget, that our website has a breakdown of this year's budget and a lot of what we're going to be talking about tonight. To take a look at that, which you can even do during the course of this call, all you have to do is visit the site, which is www.SenatorSteveSantisiro.com/budget. Again, www.SenatorSteveSantisiro.com/budget to see the breakdown of some of the key issues in the budget, and that will give you a little bit of a kind of an overview of what we're talking about that will help the conversation as we move forward. Again, if you have a question tonight, press *3 on your phone, and you will be connected to the telephone town hall, and we'll be happy to take your question. So, Lisa, let's before we take some questions, let's start with some of the issues we have and some of the categories of funding in this year's budget. Obviously, education is a big part of what the state funds every year. Can you give us just a brief overview of what we did in this year's budget when it comes to education?
Sure. So over the last several years, really starting in our 15-16 fiscal year, we've been slowly making incremental investments in the fair funding formula, which takes into account lots of other factors to try to get at the inequities and funding gaps between districts and, in particular, socioeconomic divides. So we've been doing that for a while, minus the pandemic year, of course, where there was a temporary freeze on education funding. And this year we put the largest investment, state investment, in the basic education fair funding formula, by putting $525 million into that formula to be spread out through that fair funding, and then another $225 million through Level Up, which is a supplemental payment on top of the basic education allotment for the 100 neediest schools in Pennsylvania. In addition to those investments, we made an increase of $100 million for special education, which is 8.1% increase over the prior year. And that also has been the additional payments for special education have also gone through a bipartisan fair funding formula that was done in 14-15. And then on the early childhood side of things, there's additional funding, $60 million for pre-K counts, and additional money for our Head Start supplemental assistance, which we use to bolster the federal assistance for that. And then we have additional investments in early intervention.
And we know. Yeah, and I just want to, if I can interject this, I mean, we know that, those investments in early childhood education are really critically important. They pay, so many dividends, and the return on that investment is so incredibly strong for the state that I've always been a proponent of that for that reason, and it's good to see that we've made those investments this year. Let me just, Lisa, once again, remind our callers, If you want to be connected live tonight to ask a question, you need to press *3 on your phone. Once again, *3 on your phone will connect you live to the conversation tonight, during which you'll be able to ask a question of either Lisa or me about some of the issues that we're discussing. I'm sorry, Lisa, go ahead.
I was just going to point out then, tailgate into some of the other education opportunities for our students. There's additional funding in the budget this year for career technical education. So we increased the subsidy there by $6 million, which is another big deal because we've seen time and time again that we need to make sure that we are helping all of our learners and all of our sectors to bolster our economy going forward and just make better people and better society. Likewise, we funded dual enrollment, which we had not funded since 2010-11, by $7 million. This will help schools who have cooperative agreements with post-secondary institutions so that students in high schools can also be taking college credits at the same time and giving them a leg up as they move forward in their career.
Yeah, thank you. And that's really important, obviously, because that's going to help people, help families save on tuition. And we're going to talk a little bit later about college tuition because that's a major issue, obviously. But in the meantime, let me just quickly dive in. We do have a question online. We're going to connect in just a moment. But I want to remind everyone, *3 connects you live to the call tonight, and we're happy to answer your questions. So let me take the first one, Jaydeep from Yardley. Jaydeep, you're live.
Hello, Senator. This is Jaydeep. Thank you for taking my call. I know my question's going to be oddball, although it kind of touches safety. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. I thought I heard something in between. I'm going to bring an oddball question, but it has something to do with safety also. The road conditions in our area, I don't know if it's throughout the state, but our area, particularly Oxford Valley Road.
Right.
I don't have to say anything. It doesn't take a genius to know that, and I'm sure everyone has driven on that road. I lost 2 hubcaps. It damaged my rim so bad. It's looking as bad as a third world country road. And particularly the area where there was a recent, before COVID, there was a huge, long construction done right where it meets Route 1. Right. I don't know what they did.
Yeah. So, Jay, let me take that question and kind of give you an overview of a few things. First of all, every year during COVID, we were a little bit more constrained on this because of the restrictions that were in place. But we have been doing a full kind of review of all the roads in the 10th District. And what I do is I invite engineers from PennDOT to come out to the 10th District, and we literally get in a van and we drive around and we look at all of the issues that we have that my staff has identified, that I've identified, that constituents like you have identified in the course of communications with our office. And the purpose of that is to make sure that the PennDOT engineers see these things firsthand, and then they put them on their list to make sure that they're going to be addressed in the next couple of years. So Oxford Valley Road is certainly one of those roads that we have pointed out to them. In fact, we did our PennDOT review just this year, and we drove that stretch as well as a number of other roads throughout the 10th District. And we are working to make sure that they get repaving on the schedule as they have in a number of other places. And I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, before the pandemic, when we were able to do our last road tour, we took them on Route 202, which is in a more northern part of the district, and that was exactly like, Oxford Valley, in fact, worse than Oxford Valley is, believe it or not. That is now being repaved. And that's a direct response to the fact that we took these engineers out and we did that review, and as a consequence, that work is being done. So we're going to continue to do that, and I can tell you it's good news that the federal government has passed its infrastructure funding bill. That's going to bring about $4.5 billion for road and bridge improvements over the next 5 years, I believe, into Pennsylvania. And obviously, we need to continue to make sure that we're bringing our share of that here into the 10th District and into Bucks County. And I can tell you, it's a squeaky wheel often gets the grease. And I'm going to continue to be a strong advocate for our district in that regard, because I think for all the reasons you said, it's important that we do that. So I'm going to have to go to another call now, Judy, but I want to thank you for those comments. And if you have additional issues on the road that you want to raise, please feel free to contact my office. We're happy to talk to you further about that.
Yeah, just a short comment. Road work, contractors, how much cutting, corner cutting they are doing, that's probably important, because no matter how you spend money, where that money, how are they doing the quality work, or somebody is making money and not doing the right job. That's why our roads do not stay stable for a long time.
So let me just disagree with you slightly on that. I mean, one of the reasons why the roads have not stayed in good condition is because for years PennDOT was underfunded and didn't have the ability to address the roads in a timely way. And so that's why these roads started to deteriorate the way they did. But again, we'll talk further about that offline, but I need to take other calls now. But thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate you bringing that issue up.
Thank you, Senator.
Take care.
Yep. You too.
Okay, so again, star 3 will connect you to us live this evening, and I want to see if we have some more callers here. Take a look. We have Ted in Levittown. Ted, you're live. Go ahead.
Ted. Originally, I had a house in Mooresville. Now that I'm a senior citizen, I live at McIntosh, which is the towing town section of Levittown. I used to have a farming shop in Bristol Township. But anyway, my concern, and I watch a lot of TV, is the signs of the schools, and I think the building that they're redoing at Junior High on Mill Creek Road in Bristol Township. These are mega schools with many entrances. I mean, how much safety is being put in once the kids get in school? I can't stand this. Kids get killed. It's got to be a very hard thing to do, but it's got to be done.
Okay. Well, Ted, thank you for that question. Let me answer that. And thank you again for calling in tonight. So the issue of school safety is a very important one. And I'm very pleased to say that one of the things that was in our budget this year is a new $200 million grant program that will go to our schools to address school safety as well as student mental health. Two very important issues to try to make our schools safer, and obviously the experience that our kids have in school a much better one overall. That breaks down for roughly $100 million for school safety and about $100 million for mental health issues. That will include things like being able to do studies to ensure that the schools, school districts have mapped out all of the safety issues physically in buildings. On mental health issues, it will include things like money going toward hiring more professionals that will help kids in the schools. And the great thing about this is every district is guaranteed money if they apply, which they have to do by the end of this month. They'll get a base of $100,000 in funding for school safety and another base of $100,000 in funding for mental health issues, plus an additional amount which is based on school population above that. The districts here in Bucks County will benefit greatly from that, and it's something that we've encouraged all of our school districts to apply for. Most of them have already done that, and the handful that have not yet done that as of the end of last week are now in the process of getting their applications out. So I am confident by the end of the deadline tomorrow that every school district in Bucks County, including the intermediate unit, which is also eligible for money, will have applied, and that money will be there for them to be able to use for that purpose. So that's going to make a big difference. I know every district is laser focused on doing what they need to ensure school safety. I've met with a number of superintendents, and I have heard the planning that they're doing, and I'm confident that they're doing everything in their power to make sure that our kids are safe when they're at school. And again, this new element of providing for supports on mental health is really critical too, because a lot of our kids, you know, in the wake of the pandemic, but also as a consequence of the new world in which we live with social media, have faced a number of issues ranging from anxiety to other mental health questions. And having those supports really can make a difference for the kids as they navigate to school, which is becoming, you know, harder and harder to do these days, much harder than many of us were kids. So I want to thank you for that question, very important issue for us here. And we will now go to other calls. But again, I want to remind everyone to make sure that if you want to get connected to us tonight, that you press *3 on your phone, *3, to be connected directly. We are going to now go to Robin in Fairless Hills. Robin, you're live with us tonight.
Yes, I have a two-part question. One,
sure.
When you were just talking about $225 million going to other parts of the state, why? Each area should take care of their own. Why should we send money from our hardworking area to go to another part of the state? And second,
yeah, okay. Well, let's take it one at a time, Robin. I'm not sure I know what you're referring to in terms of the $225 million going to other parts of the state.
According to that lady that talked, it said $400 million going to one thing and $225 million going to other areas on the state to help. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on just a second. So let me turn to Lisa. Lisa, do you recall what Robin said?
The only $225 referred to are the leveled up school districts. So they're the 100 media school districts in the state.
Right. Robin, so the answer to that question is the state has identified 100 districts that are the neediest, that have had the greatest challenge. These are the poorest school districts, and so that extra money is going to them. And that was a bipartisan.
She got it in my area, in my state, not after Erie or Braddock County.
Yeah.
Where that idiot Fetterman is, and his school district's 457th in the state. My money should not go up there.
So Robin, let me just say, I mean, we have a, and I want to thank you for the call, but we have an obligation as a state to make sure that when we're legislating and passing something like the state budget, that we are helping the entire state. It's kind of what President Kennedy said, almost 60 years ago now, that the rising tide lifts all boats. It's in the interest of Pennsylvania to make sure that we are helping all school districts across the state, because ultimately that'll make our economy stronger. It'll help children learn and create a workforce that will enable our economy to expand. If we ignore those districts, we do so at our peril, because ultimately the social cost of that is going to be so great that it will overwhelm us. Now, having said that, while we did help those 100 most impoverished districts, that is not to say that everyone else didn't get additional funding. They did. So here in Bucks County, each of our school districts got additional funding under the state budget this year, and that's pretty important, because I think there was a recognition, again, on both sides of the aisle, that we need to do more investments into our public schools. When that happens, it does a few things. First of all, it gives kids more opportunities for a variety of different programs, but it also takes the burden off local property taxpayers, right? Because if the state's picking up a bigger share of funding for the schools, that means that the school districts do not have to lean as heavily on the local tax, whether it's the property tax or the earned income tax, in order to do local funding. So that's another important part of this, and that's why, I have been fighting now for some time to get the state to increase funding to, for education. And I want to thank Governor Wolf for that, because Governor Wolf, you know, when he took office, the previous governor, Tom Corbett, had cut education by $1 billion. So think about that for a minute. $1 billion cut in education across Pennsylvania, including all of our districts here in Bucks County. Governor Wolf not only filled that money back in, but he has now increased it dramatically beyond that, and that is helping all of our districts, including all of our districts right here in Bucks County. So I want to thank him for that. We have questions that were given ahead of time, as I said earlier on, by email, and I want to make sure we get to some of those as well as our live callers. So before I go to another live call, I'm going to address one of those questions. The question has to do with what is called Caton's Law and rewriting of our child custody statutes here in Pennsylvania. You may be aware of the terrible tragedy 4 years ago in which a little girl from Lower Makefield, Caton Mancuso, while on a court-ordered, unsupervised visit with her biological father, was horribly murdered by him, and then he committed suicide. In the wake of that, I had been working with Caden's mom, Kathy Sherlock, her family, as well as Lisa Baker, the Republican state senator, who is the chair of the Judiciary Committee in the state Senate. I'm the Democratic chair. She's the ranking chair on the Republican side. And as well as my friends in the State House, Representative Terry Warren from the Yardley Newtown area and Tina Davis from the Bristol area. And what we have done is written a bill that we've called Caden's Law, in Caden's memory, that would rewrite our child custody statute so that the paramount concern for any judge addressing a child custody dispute between two parents would be ultimately the safety and the well-being of the child. And while you may think that that is, you know, self-evident, something that courts should do, the way the law is written right now, it's not quite as clear as it should be. And this new statute or this new bill would create a presumption in favor of, at the very least, supervised custody if there is any evidence of any past abuse. And so if this had been the law when Caden's case was decided, she'd be alive today. And so it's important to save children going forward that we get this passed. Now, the good news is we got it passed through the Senate by a vote of 45-5 back in June of 2021. Unfortunately, it's been sitting in the House Judiciary Committee now since then, and we'd like to try to get it out of that committee this fall. We'll see what happens. We don't have a tremendous number of session days between now and the end of the session. But I will tell you that if that does not happen, we will continue with it once again in the next session, and we'll get that bill passed eventually, because it's just too important, and we've got to make sure that every child in Pennsylvania is protected to the greatest extent that we possibly can. So that's one of the questions we got ahead of time. Now, let me go back to the calls again. Star 3 is how you get connected live this evening. Star 3 is how you get connected live. And I'm going to go to Steve in Doylestown. Steve, you're live with us. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having the session tonight.
Sure.
Calling because having been an educator for part of my life and a pharmaceutical guy and a firefighter, but at the end of the day, I look to the frontline leaders, really, the teachers, and I suggested or asked the question, will the districts have the opportunity to direct some of those funds to help better prepare teachers to better serve the kids with their mental health needs and challenges? Do they have that latitude?
Thank you for that question, Steve. It's a very important point, and I'm glad you raised it. So when we passed the budget, not only did we include that extra $200 million for both school safety and mental health of our students, but we also included new criteria for applying for those grant monies. And this was a direct outcome of a bill that I had proposed in the Senate called the Save Students Act. The Save Students Act was something that I developed in conjunction with the folks at Sandy Hook Promise, which you may know is the parent group in Sandy Hook, Connecticut, that came together after that tragedy there. And one of the things that they are trying to get states to adopt, and they've been able to do it now in a number of states, is a new approach that would enable the kind of thing that you're talking about, greater collaboration between teachers and mental health professionals, greater training for teachers, greater training for students, for that matter. And we were able to get a lot of that language into the budget bill this year so that now school districts will be able to access those grant monies that I described earlier and use them for those types of activities. And so while I will like to see more money put into that moving forward, and we will work to do that in our next budget next year, this is a great start in that regard, and it's something that we'll continue to encourage the school districts to take advantage of, because you're absolutely right. This is a, you know, anyone who has taught, as I did for 4 years at Bensalem High School, knows that what happens in the school is really a collaborative effort. It's the teachers, it's the support staff, it's the counselors and mental health professionals all working together to make sure that the kids are being served, that they're learning, and that if there are issues, they're able to identify those issues early and deal with them and hopefully, you know, get the kids on the road to a healthier life. So that's good news for everyone, and I'm glad you raised that question.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Take care. So, again, it is star 3 to be connected tonight, star 3 to be connected tonight. If you want to talk to us live and you have a question for us this evening, let's see who's next on the looks like we have Judy in Buckingham Township. Judy, you're live with us tonight. Are you there? Looks like we lost Judy. Let me see if I can try one more time. Judy, do you hear me now?
I do, yes.
Okay, great. Sorry about that.
All right, that's okay. With regard to funding for safety, I'd like to know if some of the funding is going to go to more training for police officers and whatever safety officers are in the schools, because a few horrible weeks ago we witnessed, not in our state, but policemen who stood outside a classroom when somebody with an automatic weapon was killing little children. So I'm concerned that some of the funding go to, I support the police, I certainly support whatever safety officers there are, but I think training, enhanced training for them might be a good idea for some of that funding. That's my first comment. Now, with regard to mental health, I'd like to, this is not a question because I don't think you could answer it, but I'd like to throw out the idea that perhaps if we had smaller classes, that's from elementary school on up through high school. In smaller classes, children feel a personal connection with the teacher, and that doesn't cure mental health, but that leaves some children who might feel outsiders, ignored, faceless people in a classroom of 30 or 35, might make them feel connected, might give teachers more time to identify with, connect with their students.
Sure. Thank you for those questions, Judy. I'm going to take those now off as you put you on hold. First of all, with respect to the funding that we passed, this $200 million that I've been describing, goes toward the school districts. Having said that, I know here in Bucks County, at least, that our local police departments are working very diligently with the school districts. They are in contact with the school administration all the time, and they have plans in place for dealing with emergency situations of the kind that horribly unfolded in Uvalde, Texas, and we pray that that obviously never happens here. But they are prepared in those cases if it does. They're well-trained, and they're working very closely with our school districts. One of the things that I have tried to do is get more funding to our local schools, police departments, excuse me. I've gotten grants for a number of our police departments. But the good news is this year's budget does include a separate $125 million, I believe it is, and Lisa can correct me if I'm wrong about that, that is a new grant program for our police departments specifically. So I think we've done a lot there as well. But as I said, I think that our police departments here in Bucks are really on top of this issue and working diligently to make sure they have a good plan in case of those types of emergencies. The other piece about class size, again, as a former teacher, I'll tell you that class size is critically important. I'm a believer from my own personal observation that smaller class sizes enable teachers to do more. It's not just an issue when there may be a mental health problem, but also just in terms of instruction and being able to help kids who might not be grasping the material quite as readily as others. Of course, making smaller classes requires hiring more teachers, which is one of the main expenses that school districts face. That gets back to the importance of funding. That gets back to the importance of making sure that the state is actually doing its fair share and we're coming forward and we're funding schools appropriately. Again, I think Governor Wolf, in his nearly 8 years in office now, has understood the importance of that, and that's why he's led on that issue. I'm happy to say that we in the Senate Democratic Caucus certainly understand it, and that's why we've been fighting for that as well. The additional funding this year is, I think, an important step in that right direction. But there's more we need to do, honestly. We should get to a point where we were about 30 years ago when the state funded roughly 50% of the cost of our local school districts. Right now it's more like 33-34%. And here in Bucks County, in many places, it's even lower than that. So we need to do better there, and I will continue to fight for that as we move forward. But I want to thank you for those comments. Moving now, want to move along to Gallus in Levittown. Gallus, how are you doing? It's good to hear from you.
Good evening, Senator. As you know, I'm a member of the school board in Bristol Township, and in the previous caller, I just wanted to belay his fears about the safety issues that may crop up when we build mega schools. We actually have less entrances in our newer buildings, so that might make him feel a little better. And we have state-of-the-art doors and latches and cameras and all things, the best that we can provide. So, having said that, my main question is in regards to technical school funding. I've been for years on the tech school and on the Bristol Township School Board trying to get funding for our local tech school. And it's no secret that technical education is at the forefront of the needs of our students. And when we have students that have to rely on a lottery and knock it in just because of the size of the building, I think says a lot about what we really need to get funding for education in the technical fields. The tech schools are county entities that the districts joined, and I think this year is the first year that the Pennsbury School District is looking, has a need to fill 94 seats, and they can't get it. So we always end up with 100, 150 kids that can't get in because of this lottery, and the lottery is basically only performed because of the size of the building. The middle tech schools and the upper tech schools do not have that issue. This is just based on population. So I would like to see the state address some of the mental health issues that go along with kids not being able to get into tech school and follow, you know, the careers that their parents have set for them going forward. So I'll let you comment on those.
All right. Thank you, Gallison, and thank you for your service on the school board. That is a labor of love. I know a lot of times it's a difficult one, but it needs good people like you to be there to do that important work, because the health of our schools is the number one key to the health of our communities. And so thank you for everything you've done on the school board. So let me say, you're absolutely right about the tech schools. The technical education that they provide is an excellent one. Our current chair of the county commissioners, Bob Harvey, as you know, was a teacher for many years at the Lower Bucks Tech School. He was the supervisor of the history department there. And I know he would echo these comments that that school, as well as the middle and upper Bucks tech schools, provide excellent education for these kids and provides them on a path, you know, puts them on a path for a career where they can get good paying jobs with benefits. And so we do need to put more good funding into our tech schools and our schools generally. Again, this gets back to the fundamental question of how we fund our schools in this state. And we have to decide at the end of the day that education is one of our main priorities, and that we are going to do everything we can to make sure that we're properly funding them so that our kids have opportunities. And it's not just about going to college, because not every student is going to decide that that's the right course for them. So providing a technical education is pretty important too. And I'll say in regard to that as well, we're very fortunate in Bucks County in that, you know, the Philadelphia Building Trades provide excellent apprenticeship programs. In fact, just a little over a year ago, we did a special video that highlighted a lot of what they did, what they do, rather. We were at the Painters facility in Northeast Philadelphia, and we sent that out to the schools to remind the school administrations and to get that in front of the students that if they're interested in going in a toward the trades, that they should avail themselves of that opportunity and reach out to the building trades and enter an apprenticeship program. So those are all things we can do to help kids in their education. And education, as I said, it's a pretty wide array of things that we should be providing for students, not just, you know, that road toward college or university, but also technical education and ultimately work in the trades as well. So those are all things we need to continue to focus on. Again, Star 3 will connect you live tonight to the conversation. But in the meantime, I got to go back to some of the questions that we received via email before this evening. And this question is about guns. What are you doing to keep our community safe and prevent gun violence? It's an excellent question, and obviously a timely one. You know, we talked a moment ago about the potential risk to our schools and the horrible incident in Uvalde, Texas. So what are we doing and what do we need to do in my view? Well, first of all, getting back again to our budget this year, we were able to get a provision in the budget that is something that I worked on, and with the support of Senator Hughes, our Democratic Appropriations Chair, we were able to ultimately get this through, and that is an extra $50 million that will go to our district attorneys, it will go to our law enforcement agencies, our police departments, and it is intended to help them combat gun violence, so that it will help with investigations, it will help with prosecutions. That money is targeted specifically to the issue of gun violence, and I think it's pretty clear that we need to do that, and that help is something that will make a difference, I think, including here in Bucks County. But what else do we need to do? Well, you know, I've been the author now for many terms of back when I was in the State House and now in the State Senate as well, of the universal background check bill in the state Senate. I'm doing that with Senator Hughes. And, you know, that it's a reasonable bill. It's something that 90% of Pennsylvanians support. And it closes a very narrow loophole that we have in our law right now, which is that right now you have to have a background check done if you buy a gun in every situation, unless you're buying a long gun like a rifle in a private sale. In every other case, you have to have a background check done. So this bill would simply get rid of that loophole to require a background check every time, whether it's a long gun, private sale, or not, you'd have to get it done. Now, why is that important? Well, because we have already on the books laws that prohibit certain people from buying guns, people who have a certain criminal history, people who have a certain history of mental illness. There's no way we can enforce those laws unless we have a system of universal background checks so that the records of those folks can be checked in the state database every time they go to buy a gun. If that doesn't happen, then a lot of people who should not be owning guns are going to wind up getting them. What else do we need to do? We need to pass legislation like the safe storage bills that both Representative Warren has in the House and I have in the state Senate that would require gun owners to safely store their guns when they're not in use. We need to have the lost and stolen law passed that would require that any time a gun owner loses a gun or has a gun stolen, that they notify the police of that. That will help the police track those guns and prevent them from going into the strong purchase market where criminals get access to them and commit crimes with them. Again, pretty reasonable, pretty basic bills that are supported by a majority of Pennsylvanians. But I think there's one other thing we need to do, and I proposed this just a couple of months ago in the wake of Uvalde, and that is I do think we need to have a ban on military-style assault weapons and a limit on how many rounds can be in a magazine. You know, we've seen now too many times across the country those weapons are used and they are intended to kill as many people as possible in as short a time as possible. And if we really want to protect our kids, if we really want to protect our communities, we need to ban the further purchase of those and have a, you know, a buyback program that current owners can choose to engage in if they want. So those are some of the things I've been working on. It's a pretty important issue, and I'm hoping that we will finally see progress on those in addition to the funding that we were able to get passed this year. All right, so we're going to go back to the callers now. Again, *3 is how you connect to us live this evening. And we have Caesar in Newtown. Caesar, you're live with us this evening.
Good evening, Senator. First of all, thank you for hosting these town hall meetings. They're really quite informative, and I really appreciate that. My comment is in view of this ominous threat of Aqua buying out Bucks County Water, and Newtown and the surrounding communities are really opposed to the purchase. I'd like to know, what is your position, and can you help us stop this action? Thank you.
Sure. Sure thing. Thank you for that, Caesar. I appreciate that, and that is obviously a very timely issue. So as many of you may know, there is a proposal to sell at least the sewer system of the Bucks County Water and Sewer Authority, not the water part. That is something that the Water and Sewer Authority, which is a separate authority created by the county a number of years ago, is considering. Ultimately, I believe that the county commissioners will have a final say on that. But I think it's, you know, I have some serious concerns about that. And I am going to be communicating that to the Water and Sewer Authority. I'm concerned, first of all, about a private entity owning what is an important, I think, public resource. And it's something that, you know, when I was a township supervisor in Lower Makefield many years ago, there was a proposal to sell our sewer system. We decided not to do that. And that was one of the reasons we decided not to do it. Ultimately, the more recent board took a different view, and they went and sold the sewer system there. But I think there's certain basic infrastructure that is probably better kept in the public sphere than privately. And there are a variety of reasons for that, not least is, when a private entity owns that, private entities get bought and sold all the time. Ultimately, you don't know, where the real locus of control is on that, where the headquarters is, who's making those decisions, and how you have access and redress to that. The other issue, I think, is one of just the basics of the cost, rate increases and how that will be borne by customers over time. There are some serious issues about that. And I noticed the commissioners have sent about 2 weeks ago, a pretty lengthy letter with questions to the Water and Sewer Authority that raised a number of those issues. So it will be interesting to see what the response is on those. I suspect that decisions on that will be made relatively soon, and we'll have to wait and see how it goes. Again, I don't have a direct vote in that, but I certainly can make my opinion and my concerns known, and I will do that. So thank you for raising that with us this evening. And again, star three is the way you connect with us live this evening. I would like to move to, Maureen in Bristol. Maureen in Bristol, you are live with us this evening. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. I was in Newtown 34 years and in Bristol now 3. Never missed a vote. Always vote for you. You're a wonderful person.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
I never hear, I'm one of the baby boomers, I'm 69 years old. I went for mental health quite a few times in the past year or two, and I was told, no, we only take welfare, we can't take Medicare. That, to me, is like a real slap in the face that I really need help, and I can't get it. That's one. The other second thing I want to ask you is about the rent. My rent is almost exactly my Social Security, and I worked all my life, so I have a pretty good amount of Social Security. But if I pay this increase of rent, I can't eat, honestly, and I'm being evicted tomorrow. They raised it up $300 since I've been here, a month. So anyways, I don't know what to do at this point. I've already been sleeping in my car in Bristol, and I've got a lot of tickets for that, but I don't want to continue to have to do that. So do you have anything for the senior citizens for mental health and for also some kind of help with funding apartments that you're not welfare, you're not rich, but you're a couple $100 a year more so you don't qualify?
Sure. So first of all, Maureen, you feel free during office hours to call my office and Tina Davis as well. If there's anything we can do to help you immediately with your current problem, we're happy to do that. The number here is 215-497-9490. Tina Davis, I'm sure you can, I don't have her number in front of me, but you can find that readily online. On the property tax issue, the rent issue, we have some additional money that's in the budget to help with that on rent rebates. In terms of the mental health question, let me turn to Lisa to see if she has some thoughts that might be helpful there. Lisa?
Again, I apologize because I don't know your whole situation, so if it's something you've already done, I apologize for that. Medicare is the federal benefit, as you know, linked with Social Security. But if you contact the county, they should have some folks who would be able to try to better assess possible eligibility for some of the services they provide, because those are not exclusively in Medicaid. That would be where I started. But again, I think if you also just call Senator Santiago's office or Rep. Davis's office, their constituent folks can get a better sense of what you might have already tried and, you know, contact folks at the county and the state to see what other opportunities might be available. But that would be my biggest suggestion there.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that, Lisa. I appreciate that. And again, Maureen, thank you for the call. And please don't hesitate to reach out to us tomorrow during business hours. We're happy to help out in any way we can. Again, Star 3 will connect you live tonight. We're getting close to the end of our hour for this call. And I did want to take one of the questions that another question, I should say, that we received ahead of time. And that is about Senate Bill 106. How did you vote? Okay, so let me preface this by explaining Senate Bill 106 is a proposed amendment to the state constitution that would essentially say that there is no right to an abortion under Pennsylvania law. And when that came in front of us at the end of our session in July, I voted no on that proposed amendment. Unfortunately, from my perspective, it passed the Senate and it passed the House. So now it has passed one session, and to become a part of our state constitution, it has to be passed again in exactly the same form in the next session, which begins next year. And then if that happens, it would go to all of you, the voters, for a vote at an election, either in a primary or a general election, to decide whether you want to amend the Constitution with that language. Some of the people who voted for it are claiming, well, this is really just to give voters a decision. And my response to that is, well, no, that's not really what this is about, because if you don't believe that, if you believe that there should be a right to an abortion, a right to reproductive freedom in Pennsylvania, then that's what you believe, and there's no reason to have a voter referendum on that. You know, our state right now, despite the fact that the Roe versus Wade has been overturned, still guarantees under state law a right to reproductive freedom and a right to an abortion. I don't think that should change, and I don't think we need to amend the Constitution in any way. And I think the people who are proposing that and who have voted for it are people who really do want to do away with the right to an abortion in Pennsylvania. And to make it clear, that proposal does not distinguish between different circumstances in which someone might seek an abortion, including in cases of rape and incest. So I think it's a bad idea, and again, I voted against it, and if I am fortunate enough to be in the Senate next year and it comes up again, I will vote against it once again. So again, Star 3 to be connected live this evening. I think we have about enough time for one more call, and we're going to take Elaine from Levittown. Elaine, go ahead. You should be live.
Hi, Senator. This is a question that I have concerning the boundaries the Legislative Reapportionment Commission voted on. And
right.
I'm just wondering, I know that Tina Davis's, our 141st district, has changed, not for us, in my township, but there's a few that she lost in under her. Is there any change in your area for your district?
Yeah. So every 10 years, the legislative redistricting process redraws the lines after, you know, the census happens, because we have to make sure that all the districts are roughly the same number of people in them. So the state House districts have about 63,000 people on average in them, and the state Senate districts are about four times that size, about 260,000 to 270,000. So in my case, my district is adding Bristol Township and Bristol Borough, and the northern part of the district, everything north of Plumstead and New Britain Township, is going into the 16th district, which is a district based in the Lehigh Valley. So that's the difference for me. I'm very while I love the communities in that northern part, and I'm sorry to see them go, because there's some really great towns up there. I'm excited about gaining Bristol, and there are a lot of good things happening both in the borough and the township, and I'm very literally looking forward to working with Tina and the local officials to bring investment into the area and really help continue to do good things there. So I hope that answers the question. Okay, so again, I appreciate, Lisa, you participating tonight. I'm sorry we kind of didn't have a whole lot of time to go through a lot of parts of the budget. That often happens on these calls because we only have an hour. But again, I want to thank you for participating. And I want to, that's great, thank you. And I want to remind all the callers, if you were unable tonight to get a question addressed, and we had lots of questions, we tried to get through to as many people as possible, but it's almost always impossible to get to all of them. You can stay on the line when we're done, and you'll have an opportunity to leave your question, and then we will get to those, and we will respond in the next few days, and we're happy to get back to you on those issues. There are a number of things coming up this fall that we're going to be doing, including a recycling event and a electronic recycling event as well. So keep an eye out for that in the mail, and online we'll be talking about that too. And of course, if you have any questions or need any assistance, you can call me either at the Newtown office, which is 215-497-9490, or at our Doylestown location, which is 215-489-5000. Again, 215-489-5000. And, of course, you can always visit the website at SenatorSteveSantisiro.com. So, again, thank you all for participating tonight. I hope you were satisfied with the information we provided. And, again, if you still have a question that we weren't able to get to, please stay on the line, and when we conclude the call, you'll have an opportunity to record your question, and we will get back to you. Once again, this is Steve Stanisero wishing you a good night, and thank you all very much. Take care.